Welcome to the Paul Stone Sports Podcast. For over 30 years, Paul Stone has been seriously handicapping college football, college basketball, and PGA Tour golf. Over the past five seasons, spanning almost 600 releases, Paul has hit 55% against the spread in college football, gaining the respect of sports books and bettors throughout the world. He is monitored by highly respected the Sports Monitor of Oklahoma City. Paul has also won two major Las Vegas football handicapping contests and finished in the top four in two others. Each week, Paul will provide exclusive handicapping insights on the podcast. To receive Paul's exact picks each week, you can sign up for member-only access at paulstonesports.org. Now, on to the show.
What a great opening 4 days of the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. The event always delivers, and this year, no different. Hello again, everyone. I'm Paul Stone. This is episode 148 of the Paul Stone Sports Podcast. This week's version titled 16 and Counting. Personally, you know, I would prefer maybe another Cinderella or two in the Sweet 16, but only one double-digit seed, NC State, advanced to the Sweet 16. But I'm sure the television folks and the sports books are elated with the eight matchups that we have in the Sweet 16. Those games set to take place this Thursday, March 28th, and this Friday, March 29th, is a point of reference. As I record, it is shortly after 8 a.m. Central on Wednesday, March 27th. So the Sweet 16 games actually start tomorrow on Thursday as I record. So it really is a high-level field, remaining 16 teams, 12 of the remaining 16 teams were actually seeded fourth or better in their region, while three more were either fifth or sixth seeds. And then again, North Carolina State, an 11 seed, which had to win five games in 5 days, four of those as the betting underdog, to even get in the tournament by winning the ACC tournament. NC State, again, the lone remaining double-digit seed. And just go over some different notes here. And what I'm going to do in this week's episode is I'm going to offer a tidbit, handicapping related or otherwise, on each of the remaining 16 teams. So without further ado, we're going to get after it. Let's get going with the teams. First of all, in Thursday's games, you know, and there's going to be some point spread information, some this and that information. I'm going to give a selection at the end, but this is not necessarily a pick. I mean, you might say, well, I think he likes this team or that team. It's just food for handicapping thought. Use it as you will. And again, I'll give a selection in my final analysis of the eight games at the end of the podcast. So starting out in Thursday's card in Los Angeles, we have Arizona at 27-8, hosting Clemson at 23-11. Took these lines this morning from Circa out in downtown Las Vegas. Arizona currently favored by 7.5 with a total of 152. You know, Arizona in their first two games in the NCAA tournament, they played right at the number. They defeated Long Beach State by 20, beat Dayton by 10. Arizona, again, favored Thursday over Clemson by 7.5 points. And I'll point out, and this is thanks to VSiN, that favorites of five or more points in the Sweet 16 round are 7-15 against the spread since 2017. The Wildcats actually entered the tournament having lost two of their previous three games. They lost, first of all, at USC by 13, and then fell to Oregon by 8 in the Pac-12 tournament there in Las Vegas. Looking at Clemson, Clemson entered the tournament also on kind of a low note. They entered the tournament having dropped three of its previous four games. But when you look at this Clemson team, they have shown glimpses of what they can be at their best. They earlier covered at both North Carolina and Duke, which are also in the Sweet 16. The Tigers defeated the Tar Heels in Chapel Hill by 4 points, actually won that game outright on the road as a 6-point underdog. lost by only one in Durham as a 7.5-point underdog to Duke, their own Duke's home court. So they played well, won at North Carolina, really probably should have won at Duke. So Clemson, again, has shown what they can be at their best. That's going to be a really interesting game. Take a quick sip of coffee here. Then we have last year's national championship game combatants meeting in the Sweet 16. San Diego State at 26-10, taking on defending national champion UConn 33-3 in Boston, Massachusetts. Again, on Thursday, UConn currently favored by 11 at Circa with a total of 135. Starting with UConn, they've been pretty good in this tournament thing the last couple of years. Defending national champion UConn and its head coach Dan Hurley, they've won their last 8 games in the tournament, won 6 games, of course, last year in winning the national championship, and have won 2 games so far this year. Not only 8-0 straight up, but 8-0 against the spread in the NCAA tournament over the last 2 years, against the spread again and straight up. And they've won all 8 of those games by at least 13 points. To say UConn has been rolling in the tournament would be somewhat of an understatement. San Diego State, again, facing UConn in a rematch of last year's national championship game. That game won by the Huskies, won by UConn 76-59. UConn was a 6.5-point favorite in that matchup. The Aztecs, important to note, I believe, they did not perform admirably as the betting underdog down the stretch. Since January 18th, when installed as the betting underdog, the Aztecs 0-4-1 against the spread. Again, UConn favored by 11, a total of 135 there in Boston. Also in Boston, another great matchup in Boston on Thursday. Game matching teams from the Big Ten and the Big 12. Illinois at 28-8 against favored Iowa State at 29-7. Iowa State actually opened when the lines came out as a 2.5-point favorite over Illinois in this game. Iowa State now, however, favored by 1.5 at Circa with a total of 146. Looking at Illinois, first of all, they have been quite impressive over the past 2 weeks. Won all 6 of their games over that span against a pretty good slate of opponents. That included a 16-point win to start the NCAA tournament over Morehead State and then a 26-point victory over Duquesne. During that stretch, one of the main reasons for their success over those last couple of weeks, not only the last couple of weeks, but the entire season, is the play of standout guard Terrence Shannon Jr. The guy is just an offensive dynamo. In the 6-game stretch that I've referenced, Shannon Jr., he's averaged 30.5 points a game. So Shannon Jr., Terrence Shannon Jr., is rolling offensively for Illinois, playing at a very high level offensively. Since the start of February, Iowa State, they have been a moneymaker for its backers. The Cyclones, 12-3-1 against the spread, again, since the start of February. The Cyclones, they're not real pretty offensively, perhaps, but they are one of the nation's top defensive teams. Opponents have only shot 40% from the field on the season. They rank very high in defensive field goal percentage. In their last 10 games, they've only allowed 57 points per game. So something has to give with the offensive-minded Fighting Illini and Terrence Shannon Jr. again going against the defensive-minded Iowa State Cyclones. Looking here, I guess, now at the final of the 4 games on Thursday. This game in Los Angeles, Alabama, 23-11 going up against North Carolina, 29-7. Alabama, they had failed to cover 5 of their previous 6 games entering the NCAA tournament. They got a really nice draw, in my opinion, to open the tournament defeated a pair of double-digit seeds, Charleston and Grand Canyon, to reach the Sweet 16. The Crimson Tide, if you watch college basketball, you know this, but they operate at a breakneck pace, play very, very fast. In their last 13 games, either the Tide or their opponent have scored at least 98 points 10 times. So in 10 of their last 13 games, either the Tide or their opponent have scored at least 98 points. So a lot of points when Alabama takes to the hardwood. North Carolina, they're on a good trajectory right now. They've won 10 of their last 11 games. The Tar Heels, I think important to note, although they're not playing Duke yet, but they did sweep the season series from Duke, won by 9 at home and by 5 in Durham. Their head coach, Hubert Davis, he led North Carolina, if you remember, back in the 21-22 season, which was his first season as the Tar Heels head coach, led them to the national championship game. They narrowly lost in that game, had a double-digit lead, I believe, before losing to Kansas. But Hubert Davis in the NCAA tournament, he has found success in the big dance. After this past weekend, Hubert Davis, now a perfect 8-0 against the spread in the NCAA tournament. Might not have mentioned the lines, the side and the total on this game, but North Carolina favored by 4 with a predictably high total of 173.5. We're going to move on to Friday's games now, and down the road from where I am, about 100 miles away from my current location in East Texas, in Dallas, Texas, at American Airlines Arena, at American Airlines Center, I guess is what it's officially called. I think that's right. Don't follow the NBA that closely, but I believe that's the correct name. But we're going to have in one game, North Carolina State, again, the lone remaining double-digit seed in the tournament facing Marquette. North Carolina State, 24-14 on the season. The Marquette Golden Eagles and Shaka Smart, 27-9 on the season. And again, North Carolina State, they really had to hit the gas to make the tournament. They actually lost their final 4 games of the regular season, and none of those by fewer than 7 points. So they lost those games decisively, lost the final 4 games of the regular season to finish the regular season with a 17-14 record. So the Wolfpack, they wouldn't have even made the NIT if they wouldn't have performed well in the ACC tournament. But as history will show, they swept 5 games, won 5 games, 4 of those as the betting underdog outright in 5 days to make the NCAA tournament. And they have now, they upset Texas Tech in the first round of the NCAA tournament as a 5.5-point underdog. Then they survived upstart Oakland in overtime in their second match. So here they are playing Marquette. Marquette, down the stretch, they split their final 6 games of the regular season, went 3-3. But important to note that those games were played without standout guard Tyler Kolek, who set out the last 6 games due to an oblique injury. Kolek, first-team All-American, he came back for the tournament, first 2 games of the tournament. And he appears to be at 100%, appears to be at full strength, to say the least. In those 2 games, Kolek played 78 minutes out of a possible 80 minutes. He scored a total of 39 points in those 2 games, grabbed 11 rebounds, and dished out 22 assists in those 2 games, actually 11 in each of those games, and also had 3 steals. So he's doing what he does. He's a jack of all trades. He contributes in all facets of the game, and he's kind of a straw that stirs the drink for the Golden Eagles, if you will. Tyler Kolek and Marquette facing NC State Friday in Dallas. Going to go to the Motor City in Detroit, another matchup on Friday, and like all these matchups, really an intriguing matchup, pitting Creighton 25-9 out of the Big East against Tennessee, 26-8 out of the Southeastern Conference. Tennessee, currently a 2.5-point favorite with a total of 143.5. A lot of people probably not thinking much about Creighton's chances of perhaps, you know, getting to the Final Four and maybe even doing more than that. I don't want to say they're an afterthought among the Sweet 16, but don't sleep on Creighton. You know, they're one of three teams this year to defeat defending national champion Connecticut. And they also had victories this season over fellow Sweet 16 entries Marquette and Alabama. So they've beaten some really good people to get to this point. The Blue Jays appeared to be actually on the verge of elimination in the second round. They were down by four to Oregon. Oregon had the ball with less than 40 seconds remaining with a four-point lead. Creighton rallied to force overtime and ultimately defeated Oregon in double overtime by 13 points. Tennessee, the Volunteers have not exactly been hitting on all cylinders over the last 2.5 weeks. Lost at home to Kentucky by four in its regular season finale, and then fell by 17 in the SEC tournament to Mississippi State. And then, just this past weekend, in its second round NCAA tournament game, the Vols only 3 of 25 from beyond the arc. So 3 of 25 from three-point territory in a narrow four-point victory over Texas. Their first-team All-America guard, Dalton Kneck, only 1 of 8 from three-point territory. A really subpar performance by Kneck. He's really been spot on just about all year. And it's kind of the same old, but we got to mention it. Rick Barnes has not been very good, Tennessee's head coach, during the NCAA tournament with the non-cover, but the victory over Texas. Rick Barnes now 10-22 against the spread in the NCAA tournament. Another marquee game Friday in Dallas is going to feature the Duke Blue Devils at 26-8 against the Houston Cougars at 32-4. Houston currently at circa a four-point favorite over Duke with a low total of 134. This is a very good Duke team, no question about it, but I don't believe it's a great Duke team. I mean, you look at their season-long resume, the Blue Devils lost at both Arkansas and Georgia Tech right after Thanksgiving. They also lost a conference game at Wake Forest. You know, Wake Forest was a pretty good team this year, and the Demon Deacons were really good at home. So no great misstep there. But they additionally fell at home there in Durham to Pittsburgh. They got a favorable NCAA tournament draw, in my opinion. They defeated a pair of double-digit seeds. First off, Vermont of the America East Conference. And then on the weekend, James Madison of the Sun Belt Conference. Houston, their opponent on Friday, they played at an exceptionally high level for most of the season, but it's no secret that the Cougars' bench has been shortened by injuries to key reserves, and the Cougars, they appear to be at least somewhat gettable in these, in the Sweet 16 and beyond. In my opinion, the Cougars, very surprisingly, they lost by 28 points to Iowa State in the Big 12 championship game. And then this past weekend on Sunday, they let a late 12-point lead slip away against Texas A&M, did ultimately dispatch the Aggies 100-95 in overtime. But a little bit concerning, giving up that big lead, giving up that kind of points to Texas A&M, although the Aggies had been playing at a very high level. But the Cougars, you know, kind of limping in just a little bit. All right, and then lastly, and this is the game I'm going to have a selection on, we've got Purdue favored by 5 at Circa this morning over Gonzaga with a total of 154.5. They're going to be playing about 240 miles away from their West Lafayette, Indiana campus in Detroit, Michigan at Little Caesars Arena. So Purdue likely have a pretty sizable crowd advantage there. But first of all, I want to look at Gonzaga, and what a testament to the program that Mark Few has built there in Spokane. The Gonzaga has now advanced to the Sweet 16 for the ninth straight year. This was a team that roughly a month ago, many were questioning whether or not the Zags would even make the NCAA tournament, but they have now appeared in 25 straight NCAA tournaments. They dominated in their first two games of the tournament, won both of those games by 21 points. First of all, They made easy work of 12-seed McNeese State. And McNeese State was a popular upset pick on many of our brackets. And then they pulled away from Kansas on Saturday in the second half, a Kansas team playing without their top player, Kevin McCullough Jr. So once reeling, Gonzaga is now 16-2 straight up since January 18th. But I think the Zags' run is going to end Friday night in the Motor City. You know, frankly, they had a fairly easy two-game set to get here. Again, McNeese was simply outmanned against the Zags. And this year's edition of the Kansas Jayhawks was not your typical Kansas team. This was a down year for the Jayhawks. And you look at this Purdue team, this is just a complete basketball team. I think they have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder after losing in the first round last year to 16-seed Fairleigh Dickinson. But, man, they just rank high in so many key categories that are typically associated with the eventual national champion. Not saying they're going to win the national championship necessarily, but they just have some of those characteristics, if you will. The Boilermakers rank third nationally in adjusted offensive efficiency. They rank 16th in defensive efficiency. They've got a lot of balance. They've got four double-digit scores. They've got two more that average just a tick under 7 points a game. And, of course, they've got that centerpiece, the Canadian, the 7'4 big man in the middle, Zach Edey, averages 24.5 points a game, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2.3 blocks a game. Just a force inside who impacts the game at many different levels. They're the top three-point shooting team in the nation at 41%. Last year in three-point shooting, they were in the 300s. So they've gone from one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the nation last year to the best this year. This is not your same Purdue team. This is a better team than last year's Boilermaker edition. And Purdue, also one of the top rebounding teams in the nation. This is just the complete package. Purdue, again, favored by 5. I think they beat the Zags by a half dozen or more. So take Purdue, my complimentary selection, -5 over Gonzaga, Friday in Detroit. Before we close this one down, I want to give a quick plug for my service, Paul Stone Sports, beginning with this Thursday's Sweet 16 games, this Thursday, March 28th. You can get all my selections through the national championship game for just $69, all my selections. So if you're interested, please go to paulstonesports.org to get those selections again for $69. That's paulstonesports.org. Well, great first 4 days, the NCAA tournament again. Sweet 16 starts tomorrow on Thursday the 28th. Hope you have a great tournament. If you're traveling, be safe. Until next time, signing off. I'm Paul Stone.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Stone Sports Podcast. Make sure to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. And visit paulstonesports.org to sign up for member-only access to Paul's college football, college basketball, and PGA Tour golf picks and predictions.